morning. So wonderful to see everyone gathered together. Always exciting to be in the house of the Lord for a morning of worship together. If you are a guest with us, if this is your first time with us during worship, or you have visited before and have never filled out a guest card, we would love for you to fill one out. They're located in front of you, right in the little pew there, and they have a guest card written on there. If you could fill that out and put it in the offering plate, we would love to have a record of you being with us this morning. I have just a few announcements to make sure we're all on the same page about a couple of things before we begin our worship service. I really want to focus on our mission trip report tonight at 6 o'clock from our youth. I'm very excited about that. God worked in such a mighty way through our youth and youth leaders during our time in Kentucky, and they are excited to share and have spent a lot of time in preparation to share. So I really hope we can make it out, especially if you have children who might be in youth in the upcoming years. This is a great opportunity for them to see how God is at work through the youth ministry that they will soon be a part of. So I really encourage you to come out here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock tonight. Are there any other announcements this morning that we may have that weren't in the bulletin? Okay. Well, hearing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for breathing life into us this morning, God. Giving us a new day. Lord, giving us perspective as to the will you have for us to be gathered together to worship you corporately. Lord, as one voice, as one faith family. Lord, as we show our faith in you this morning by being here gathered together to worship, we want to be changed. We want to be moved. Lord, we want your wisdom to shine upon us. God, we ask that nothing distracts us so that when we are singing praises, singing songs, glorifying your name, and we are met with your wisdom through your word, that we are ready for the week that is before us so we can reach others in your son's name. And it's always in his name we pray. Amen. Now let's spend just a few moments preparing our hearts for worship.
Promises of God. I remember Clarence Kelly giving me a book, a pocketbook, called The Promises of God to take with me. We'll be starting Awanas in the fall. We'll be starting the missions in the fall. We always have Sunday school to come and delve in the word, and our pastor brings a wonderful sermon so that we can come and delve in the word of the Lord. The promises he gives us are important to us, and it's important that we know what they are and that we teach them to others and to be involved in missions like the youth were, to come on Wednesday nights and enjoy the mission activities. You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises.
church twice on Sunday and make the Wednesday service too. You don't even need a songbook to sing hymn 142.
When you sing Standing on the Promises, you repeat the last four bars. But you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. You've listened to a thousand sermons, but never really heard. And the only way your life will change is to get into God's Word. You can try to walk on water, but you'll never get too far. No, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. If there's a tour to the Holy Land, you'll be the first to go. You give $50 to the mission board, let everybody know.
Your service as an usher outshines the brightest star.
But you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
Oh, yes,
you've listened to a thousand sermons, but never really heard. And the only way your life will change is to get into God's Word. You can try to walk on water, but you'll never get too far. No, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
You raised your hand and met the Lord over 20 years ago. But John 3:16 and Psalm 23 are the only verses you know. I can see why things aren't working and why things aren't up to par. You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
You've listened to a thousand sermons, but never really heard. And the only way your life will change is to get into God's Word. You can try to walk on water, but you'll never get too far. No, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. No, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
Page 42, I sing the power of God, the mighty power of God. It used to be an almighty power, but you'd have to put two syllables together. I like the idea of being the almighty power of God, but we'll sing it the way it is. A lot of times they do change it, and I'll be singing something from the old days, and lo and behold, it's not like that anymore. Let's all stand. Page 42.
Thank you.
again. Good morning. It's always so good to see you each and every Sunday morning. I always love coming down here to talk to you all. It's always exciting to see so many of you all sitting here. I love seeing you open the hymn books. That is exciting. You know, this morning I actually want to teach or talk to us a little bit about teaching. I won't get into school mode or anything like that quite yet, but I do want us to talk about teaching. And so my first question is going to be an easy one. Does everybody here like peanut butter and jelly? Raise your hand if you like peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Yeah? I'm 30 years old and I still love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? They're good. They're good. Now, has anybody ever taught you how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before? If I was to ask you, how do you make one, what would the very first thing be that you need to do to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Yeah. You need bread. You're right. Now, what would be the next thing you would need to do if you were to make it? Yeah, I heard that. You're right. Add jelly to one side. Now, what about the next step? You need to add the peanut butter. Good, good. Now, you've got jelly on one side and peanut butter on the other side. I see right there. What would you do with the peanut butter bread and the jelly bread? You got to put it together, right? You put it together. And what's the last step, the fun step of all? You got to eat it, right? That's right. That's right. Well, this morning we're going to talk about how Jesus taught us to do something very important. You know, Jesus was the best teacher of all, and he taught his disciples and us how to pray. And he did that in a passage found in Luke chapter 11. And it's really neat for us to listen to because it teaches us exactly how to pray. Listen to this. This is Jesus talking. He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." That's really amazing. Jesus has taught us exactly how to pray. I'm sure your parents and teachers here at church have taught you how to pray too, right? And it's really neat for us to learn how Jesus taught us to pray because there's three special things we need to learn from Jesus' prayer. First of all, we always need to praise God's name. That's the first thing. Always praise God's name when we pray. And the second thing is to ask God to give us what we need each day. And the third thing is to ask for forgiveness for sins when we mess up. We know God will always forgive us. When we do those three things, that'll always teach us how to pray the right way to make sure we're always focused on God. Okay? Let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for teaching us how to pray. We are so thankful to learn, and we're so excited for the way you do teach us. And Lord, we are very thankful for the way you teach us how to pray. And remind us how to do that each and every day. In your Son's name, amen. I'll see y'all next week, okay?
As they are returning to their seats, if y'all ever need any help with that last step with that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, just let me know. I'd invite you to open your bulletin. You'll see our prayer concerns that are there. And I've got some names that I'd like to add. First, a celebration. You'll notice the flowers on either side. Yesterday, Joshua Miller and Caitlin Worrell united their lives together in holy matrimony, and we want to pray for that young couple as they begin their life together as husband and wife. You'll see those that are listed. Norm Keith is here, or was here. I don't know if he's still here or not, but I saw him earlier today recuperating from surgery, and somebody said he's back there. We want to keep Norm in our prayers. Joe Schaub also dealing with some health issues. We want to keep him in our prayers. And then, unfortunately, this morning I received some sad news, and that news has now made its way, I'm sure, around the church family. But we want to be remembering the family of Mike Thomas. Mike passed away with a heart attack, age 59. We want to be remembering him, his family, and especially Joanne, an important, wonderful person in our congregation, and grieving the loss of her son. We want to remember her in a very special way. Bill Beauvais shared with me that a dear friend and like a family member in his life, Ron Mapstone, also passed away. We want to be remembering that family. And you'll see the name of Sarah Shank. That was Judith Nance's sister. Judith texted me this morning and said, "Thank you for your many prayers and concerns." And she and Caroline and Jerry are traveling back now. And so we want to keep them in our prayers as well. As the Lord taught us to pray, let us unite our hearts and pray together. God, we are grateful for your presence, especially in the difficult moments of life. And we know that we have family members and loved ones, church family members that are struggling right now. We lift them to your care, asking that you grant your peace and your power, that you would manifest your love and your strength in their life. And Lord, as we continue to worship you this day, in spirit and in truth, as we continue to praise your name above every name, as we continue to focus our life upon you as the focus of our life, we ask, O God, that you might speak to us. And we ask this all in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Caught out in the storm, feeling desperate and alone.
Page 547, I stand amazed in the presence. First, second, and last verses of 547. Let's all stand.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and allowing us to come into your house. And Father, we thank you for the promises that you have given us. And for those that don't know them, we ask that you might open their hearts so that they might dig into your word so that they will learn the promises as well. We ask that you keep those that are safe and traveling, be with those as they travel back home today and those that are in need. We ask that you bless these tithes and offerings to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, he will set you free. So keep him in your life and let him shine.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the light of the world, and we will follow him. Jesus is the light of the world. When there is darkness, there need to be a friend.
He will shine, yes, he will shine.
Jesus will bring a brighter day.
He will shine, yes, he will shine. Follow him, strong and true. Look at what the power of his love can do.
People said, thank you, choir. What a tremendous job, eternity, and for the Lord. Thank you for blessing us with the music that prepares our heart and leads us in worship. And now may we continue our worship by turning to God's Word. We will continue where Matt left off with the children's sermon back in Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter. He read the first four verses. We're going to begin in verse 5. We know in Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, this same passage is taught. We call this the Lord's Prayer, and we know Jesus did a lot of teaching on it because Matthew gives us a little piece, and here in Luke's Gospel, he gives us a little bit more. And so we're going to focus on the part that Luke gives us as Jesus' understanding of prayer. And so our title today is Asking for Godly Things. Our text is Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And we shall continue to read through verse 13. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word and the gospel? And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet, because of his impudence, let me give us a better word, because of his persistence, in other words, he's going to keep knocking on the door, he will rise up and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, you'll give him a scorpion? If you then, we, who are evil, sinners. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us clearly for a moment or two this day that we might better ask for godly things, live godly lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your hymn book to page 538. Ask ye what great thing I know. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our message. For 7 years, I lived down in Beaufort in Carteret County. Now, most folks think you live in the eastern part of North Carolina if you're on the eastern side of Highway 95. But brothers and sisters, you have not gone down east till you turn right at East Carteret High School on Highway 70, and then you've gone down east. And that is a different world. And they have a word, and every now and then when I would be at the Pack-a-Sack, that was our grocery store in Beaufort, isn't that a great title for a grocery store, Pack-a-Sack? You would hear somebody from Smyrna or from Atlantic or Betty, somewhere really down east, say, of all the things that happened, they'd say, my Lord, honey, ain't I been mommicked today? Now, I love the word mommicked. Go home and Google the word mommicked and let me know if you find anything. I bet you won't find anything, but if you do, I bet it'll be tied to down east. It's a great word. Yesterday when I got up, I was trying to work some in my garden. The wedding was that afternoon. I was excited about that. And I needed to get the corn that we had already harvested up and get that area ready. And so I did the work of pulling the corn. I said, well, I'll get my mower out and I'll mow over the grass. And when I cranked my mower, it started shooting gas from the muffler. Now, I'm not mechanically the most sharpest knife in the drawer, but I knew that wasn't good. I knew that wasn't good. I called Randy Keck. I always call Randy. I always call somebody. I call Randy. And he told me that my float had probably stuck, and I checked the oil. It wasn't that bad. He said, if you can get it cranked, it'll run. I'm telling you, it did, because I'm here, you see. I thought, if he's wrong, I might not be here today, but he was right. I started working. My mower has 9 years of age on it. The grass was wet, but he said probably the best thing I could do would be to get all the gas out of it. So I wasn't planning to mow the yard, but I decided I would. It could stand mowing, and so I started mowing. And about the seventh round in that wet grass, my blade disengaged. My Lord, honey, I was beginning to be mommicked. I just quit. I got my wife to come sit on, you know, I got one of those lawnmowers, if you get off the seat, you know what happens, right? I know that's probably a good idea, but it irritates me. And I got Lunette to sit, and I siphoned out as much gas because I didn't know she'd want to sit there for 2 hours. It'll run a long time. I didn't know how much gas was still in the muffler, but anyway, we got that out and went to the wedding. We had a wonderful time and went home, and last night got in about 9:30. And the air conditioner at the house is not working. My Lord, honey. Well, let me ask you, should we pray for the float in my lawnmower? How about that assembly that engages the blade? I considered laying hands on the air conditioner last night, but I didn't really think about praying for it. When should we pray? What should we pray for? We sing, there's power in prayer. I believe there's power in prayer. I don't believe it. I know it. I've experienced that power. I bet you have too. How do we pray? In our text today, we find a trilogy from Jesus himself who says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened unto you. Some might see that as a blank check and say, yes, pray for the float and the engaging assembly and the air conditioner. And yet others might see it as confusing and even disappointing. Because we've prayed prayers before. We've prayed and we've asked what seemed to be reasonable requests. Reasonable requests. We ask. We sought. We knocked. What was Jesus trying to tell us? What is Jesus trying to tell us? What is this thing about prayer? This morning, let's examine the passage in light of prayer and relationship with God. Relationship with God. And see what we might conclude. The first question I think I'd like for us to ask this morning as we begin to think of the theme of asking for godly things. Asking for godly things is whom should we ask? Whom should we ask? A mom was out walking with her 4-year-old daughter when the girl picked up something from the ground and started, as sometimes children will do, to move it toward her mouth. And the mom stopped and, well, let me just tell you what the mom said in her own words. She said, I took the item away from her and I asked her not to do that. My daughter asked quickly, why? Don't you love a 4-year-old's why? Because it's been lying outside, you don't know where it's been, it's dirty and it probably has germs. It might make you sick, I replied. At this point, my daughter looked at me with total admiration and asked, wow, how do you know all that stuff? How do you know all that stuff, Mommy? The mom continues, I thought quickly and said, all moms know this stuff. It's on the mommy test. You have to know it or they won't let you be a mommy. They walked on a couple of minutes in silence as the 4-year-old was pondering this new information. Oh, I get it, she beamed. So if you don't pass the test, you get to be the daddy. I smiled and replied, exactly. Who do we ask? Who are we asking? Who do we expect to know it all? The simple answer is God. Prayer, asking for godly things, is to focus on God. Prayer needs to be focused on God. I have just said something so profound, I'm surprised you're not all writing it down. Let me say it again, because I'm not kidding you. It is profound, and it is life-changing. Prayer is to be focused on God. I'm afraid sometimes my prayers are focused on me. What I want. What I need. What I think. What I'd like to see happen. How I understand it. Prayer and its power changes when we're focused on God and what God is up to instead of what we want. Our tendency is to focus on our situation. I can remember when I lived in Lewiston and my grandfather lived with us and he had an old Oldsmobile Delta 88. He decided as I was getting 15 that I needed a driver's lesson. And I remember us taking off and going down Highway 11. Now, between Lewiston and Oak City, there's a long, 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 long stretch of straight highway, Highway 11. And I remember the first time I got out in that car, in that Delta 88, blue steering wheel, I can remember it. And I started to drive the car and never driven a car before. And he said, let's go a little faster. And I'm thinking, that might not be a good idea, Granddaddy. That might not be a good plan because you're over there and I'm here. But as his encouragement, I began to speed up a little bit. And I remember noticing that speedometer when it was running 45. And I thought, my goodness. And then my granddaddy noticed something, the point I'd like to share of the story. He noticed that I was looking straight over the hood. I was looking right there. Now, that's logical, isn't it? I mean, that's where the car is, isn't it? That's where if anything bad's going to happen, it's right there. But granddaddy said, no, Gary. Look down the road. I thought, oh, Lord. If I take my eyes off of right here and look way down there, what could happen? Everything bad in the world could happen. That's a long way. But at his encouragement, I began to look further down the road, further down the road. I think sometimes in my prayer life, I'm looking right over the hood. Lord, right here's the problem. Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future to do you no harm. Look down the road. You know when Jeremiah wrote those words? While the children of Israel were in captivity, and he had just told them a few verses earlier, they would be in captivity for 70 years. And then he said, I know the plans I have. Prayer is to be focused on God and on God's plans. Gosh, I struggle with my plans. How about you? Do you struggle with your plans? Our tendency is to focus sometimes on the right, wrong place. The emphasis is always on God's relationship with us and not our circumstances. We simply need to know who to ask. I love the story of Carl Hurley told one time, he said, he liked to travel. He liked to wear green pants and a yellow shirt. And one of those was the color of the Avis rental car, and the other was the Hertz rental car. And so one day he was standing out in front, right between the Hertz and the Avis, with his green and yellow on. A person rode up, saw the man standing there with the colors of the rental, and said, would it be all right if I park my car right here in this no parking tow zone for just a minute? Carl said, you know, I'm a friendly guy. I said, sure, park it. Park it here. It'll be fine. No authority. No authority. Wrong person. Looked like the right person. Looked like the right person, but it was the wrong person. Do I ever pray to the wrong person? Do I ever pray to the wrong God? Wait a minute, preacher. There's only one God. Amen. There's only one God. And he is disclosed to us in Holy Scripture. And he is personified for us in the person of Jesus Christ. But there's another God our culture's created, isn't there? That God looks an awful lot like Santa Claus, doesn't he? And if I read prayer in the idea of the cultural understanding of God, then I need to get in line and sit on that God's lap and ask him for what I want. It's not the God of the Bible, though. That's not the true God. That's not the one God. That's not the God who says, my grace is sufficient for all your needs. That's the wrong person. Just like Carl Hurley gave the wrong answer. That cultural God will give us the wrong answer so many times. And a lot of times when you have the wrong answer, you'll end up with a wrong result. There's a difference between the God of the Bible and the God of the culture. Let's make sure when we pray, when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, we are to the God of Holy Writ. Secondly, we should seek. we should seek. That means to look diligently. We are to seek. We are to search. Sometimes we don't want to seek, and sometimes we don't seem to think we can find, and sometimes it's just tough. I love the story. During the Civil War, there was a soldier from Ohio that got shot in the arm. It wasn't a life-threatening injury, but when the captain saw it, he said, "Give me your rifle because supplies were limited, and get to the rear." The private handed over his rifle and said he started running north, seeking safety to find the rear. But when he got about 100 yards away, he discovered that there was another battle going right there. So he stopped and he turned and he ran to the east. And it wasn't long before he ran into another battle at the east. So then he turned and ran west and had gone even a shorter distance. And sure enough, the battle was there. So finally, he came back to where his captain was and he said, "Give me back my rifle, Captain. There ain't no rear nowhere in this battle." You know, that's life, isn't it? There just ain't no rear. There's no getting away, is there? Today, we experienced a phone call that nobody wants to get. There's no rear. Life happens. What are we to be seeking? Who are we to be asking? God. What are we to be seeking? I'm glad you asked me. It's simple. God's will. To seek God's will diligently. Matthew 6:33, Jesus saying, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." I guess one hard question I might need to ask myself today, I don't really want to ask it. And even though I might be willing to ask it, can I tell you where I really struggle? Where I really, really struggle? I mean struggle. Is answering it. I don't even like to ask it, but I really hate to answer it. The question, am I seeking the Lord with all? Isn't that a hard question? It's not a hard question. I just don't like my answer most of the time. Seek. The growing edge of faith is to make us each day more Christ-like. And I find that often I end up more Gary-like than I do Christ-like. How about you? Especially when the life mimics me, I get more like Gary. I love that saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I think if I could really convince myself that the way I might need to say that, and it doesn't rhyme nearly as well as that one, isn't that a great statement? But when the going gets tough, the faithful get seeking. Seeking God's face. Not our answer, God's answer. Not what we want, but focusing on God, worshiping God, seeing God, knowing God, allowing Him to be the light of our world, as our choir so beautifully sang. Letting Him lighten us. Christ taught us many things by His example, but no greater lesson did He give us. No greater lesson in all of Scripture did He give us in the last hours before His death in a garden called Gethsemane, where He who taught His disciples to pray in Luke 11 and Matthew 6 prayed Himself. You remember His prayer? "Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be insulted and slapped and spat upon. I don't want to be mocked and humiliated. I don't want to be stripped naked and forced to carry my cross through the streets. I don't want to fall under the weight of the cross. I don't want to be nailed, my hands and my feet. I don't want to wear a painful thorn crown. If this cup can pass from me,
And then maybe he remembered his own words, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then our teacher, our Lord, our example, prayed these words. Not my will. Thy will be done. Wow. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Lord, I'm dealing with this difficult circumstance. Thy will be done. I'm dealing with this enormous pain. Thy will be done. I'm dealing with this tremendous obstacle. I'm dealing with a cross. Thy will be done. What a prayer. What a teacher of prayers. What a prayer. Finally, knock. Where should we knock? Have you ever wondered why someone said opportunity knocks once, yet temptation bangs on the door constantly? That's true, isn't it? Where should we knock? At heaven's door. Coming to God's house, into His presence. Knocking on heaven's door. It means entering into the presence of God. When we get the who we should ask right and what we should seek, we ask God and we seek His will. We're standing at the right door. We're standing at the right door, and then all we got to do is knock. A nurse in a pediatric ward would always allow the little ones to listen to their heart with a stethoscope before she would listen. She would gently and carefully put the earpieces in their ears and then place the scope in the right place. And she was always amazed at how their eyes would light up when most of them, for the first time, heard their own heart beating. But she never got an answer like she did with little David. 4-year-old David was given the opportunity. Ears were in place. She put the stethoscope in the just right place. And you could see on his face the amazement. He just lit up. His eyebrows went high. It was amazing. Listen, she said. What do you suppose this is? She asked. Thought for a moment, and then a big grin came across the childlike face of a 4-year-old. And he said, is that Jesus knocking? Is that Jesus knocking? You know what? He was right. Every heartbeat. Is our opportunity. That's God knocking at our life. Every heartbeat. The tension between this world and God's plan is often miles apart. It's so easy to allow the pressures of this world to make us knock at the wrong door. But brothers and sisters, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us not give up. Let us not faint. Let us keep on. Knocking at the wrong door can often result in trouble. But knocking at the right door, often we find a friend. What a unique lesson Jesus gave us in the text. You see, He gave us the image of friends. And one went to knock, and in that time, most folks would have a one-room house. And so when the mat was laid out to sleep, the room that was the kitchen and the den suddenly became the bedroom, and they were all there. And there's that knock on the door. And what trouble it would be. What trouble it would be to get up and wake everybody up and just go away. I can't do it. But remember what he said. He wouldn't get up for your friendship. But keep knocking on that door long enough. Keep knocking. Just keep knocking. You'll get up. You'll get up. You'll have to get up. Whom should we ask when we pray? Ask and you'll receive. Ask God. Focus on God. What should we seek when we pray? Our agenda? We'll be disappointed. We'll be disappointed. That's what the culture says. That's the God of the culture. Ask God what you want, and if He doesn't give it to you, He's not much of a God. Or you're not in the right place with your prayer life. You're a better person. God would hear your prayer. That's what the culture says. What do we pray for? The will of God. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being. Absolute sway. Mold me and make me after your will while I am yielded and still. Where should we knock? On heaven's doors. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for our time this morning in your will. In your way, and in your holy wisdom. You've spoken to us today through all that has transpired, from the call to worship to now the call to decision. And now we must decide. God, help us to focus upon you. To seek your will for our life. And to persistently keep on keeping on. Even when, my Lord, honey, I've been mama this day. God bless us. And now, we stand in your presence. Help us to make decisions that would be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 538. Ask ye what great thing I know. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, whether public or private, we would invite you to do so as we stand together and sing. This evening at 6 o'clock, I hope you'll all be back here in our worship center to hear what God has done. I've been hearing bits and pieces, and I am just excited to hear what God was up to in Kentucky, what God's still up to in Kentucky, and what other opportunities there might be for us. So I hope you'll be here tonight at 6 to support our teams of about 27, I think, that went in two groups to Kentucky, and that's an exciting thing. Please remember all those we've mentioned in prayer. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of His people. Would you pray with me? God, help us as we focus our life more clearly upon you and seek your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.